It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Recently, Pittsburgh debuted a substantial amount of new bike lanes. Many cyclists are celebrating the changes, but those who don't bike may be scratching their heads. Why is bike infrastructure beneficial for a community? Who benefits? And what about the costs? Joining me now in Studio A to talk about how bike infrastructure impacts communities, whether you bike or not, is Gani Ndimbie, Communication Manager of Bike Pittsburgh. Gani Ndimbie, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Hi.
Also with us is Jeremy Waltrip. He is President and CEO of the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership. Jeremy Waltrip, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much.
And we'd like to hear from you. Are you one of those Pittsburghers getting around on their bike during the workday? Are you a motorist encountering more cyclists on city streets during rush hour and other times? How is it working out for you? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002 to weigh in on our bike conversation. Email is ESSPGH@WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive. Jeremy, let me start with you. Talk about how the new lanes are laid out and how are the locations chosen?
So we sat down about 9 months ago and started talking to folks about what we wanted to do as a city with respect to bike lanes and how we wanted to better incorporate them into downtown. We have such a great trail system coming into the city, but once you get off that trail, you're kind of on your own. And we knew that we wanted kind of lanes coming in on both sides of the rivers, on the Allegheny and on the Mon, and then across town. We started looking at the construction projects, what was going on in downtown, and we kind of determined that the cultural district was the best place to be. And when we were thinking about it, we also wanted to look at next year with the implementation of bike share. We're going to have thousands of people coming into the convention center, a large bike share station there. So it made a lot of sense to try and connect the convention center to Point State Park, all the amenities, the restaurants, shopping, the theaters, all that's happening in the cultural district just seemed like a good place for us to go. So we started talking to stakeholders about how to connect Point State Park and the convention center. We looked at Liberty, Fort Duquesne, and Penn, and Penn One.
So it sounds like a very logical approach was taken here. And Gani, how many Pittsburghers bike on a regular basis? And are the bike lanes, are they intended to try to expand that number?
So we don't actually have a really clear picture of just how many people are biking in Pittsburgh. We don't have a really true number on that. But what we do know is that the Census's American Community Survey numbers from 2013 just were released. And in those numbers, we found that Pittsburgh's bike commuter rate has jumped to 2.2%, and which is a really big number nationwide, right? So I think we have the 11th highest commuter rate in the nation, bike commuter rate in the nation. But the key thing to know about those numbers is that that doesn't include someone who is unemployed. Right. So the question that the survey asks is, how do you get to work? So it doesn't include any cyclist who is unemployed or a student. Right. So those student riders, and we know we have thousands of those riders, those people aren't included in that number. So that, you know, that 2.2 number that we've been celebrating and that, you know, shows us as the 11th highest in the nation is actually not a complete picture of who's riding. But
that is an extraordinary figure, though. Who are the top? If we're 11th, then who are the where are the cities that are ahead of us on that list?
Yeah, Portland is one of the cities.
That does not surprise me.
That tops that list, right? At five, I think they're at 5.9 or 5.6%. So they're ahead of us there. We have Washington D.C. is really making a lot of strides and increasing the number of bike commuters there. They're at like 4.5% of.
Yeah, I think Minneapolis is up there too.
Yeah,
I think they're pretty high.
That's interesting because I was just about to say, is it fair to compare Pittsburgh to a city like Portland? Because, you know, we've got, not that the weather's always perfect in Portland, but here we've got snow and rain and different things that would make it more difficult for someone to commute on a bike. But then when you mentioned Washington D.C., Gani, they deal with a lot of the same weather we do, so that kind of throws that theory out the window.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing to really celebrate about the newest numbers that we've seen is that we've seen the largest growth in the rate of bike commuters of any other city in the country since 2000, right? So we've seen a more than 400% jump in our bike commuter rate. That's extraordinary. That's meteoric. So what we can compare Pittsburgh to is Pittsburgh 12 years ago. And we can all say, any of us who have been in the city that long can say, wow, I used to see maybe one bike rider a day if I really looked for them at that time. And now we see tons and tons of riders as we go wherever we go all throughout the city.
So. How would you describe the typical Pittsburgh cyclist? Is it anyone and everyone, or are some groups underrepresented?
I tend to,
you know, if I have a stereotype, and a lot of it's just based on what I see, but, you know, it's usually a younger person who is I encounter a lot of them on the South Side, and it tends to be younger people, but that might not necessarily be the case.
I think some of our most active members and active participants in at Bike Pittsburgh are definitely older people. I think that
that are commuting.
That are commuting to where they're going. So we've got a lot of people who – of all ages. I mean, there is no bike commuter. Like, this is what they look like. This is who they are. It's really everyone. I mean, there isn't – yeah.
Sure. No.
There are people in every Pittsburgh neighborhood who bike, and every – yeah.
We have a tweet from Tricia. She says, I bike 5 miles a day. And then she takes the bus to IKEA and the ACTA shuttle to work. I happily don't own a car, she said. Is that becoming more and more common, Jeremy?
I think it's something that we'd love to see as an organization. We try and support all modes of transit, but getting folks the option of not having to drive is a Pittsburgh I think we would love to see, and something that we want to support. You know, we love the fact that folks are able to ride their bike, throw it on the front of a bus, take the bus into downtown, and then, you know, get on their bike or walk into their office. It's a fantastic experience for us because it's going to reduce traffic. It's going to reduce congestion. It's going to reduce emissions. It's, you know, a win-win-win. I hate that word, but, you know, yeah. I mean, it is.
Well, let's go to the phones, 412-246-2002, if you'd like to join the conversation with Gani Ndimbie of Bike Pittsburgh and Jeremy Waltrip, president and CEO of the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership. We'll start with Joe in Avalon. Joe, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Well, first a comment. I'm very appreciative of where we are as a city when it comes to bicycles. Love the bike racks. I take advantage of that. Coming from Avalon, I bike a lot on the north side where it's a little flatter. 60 to 80 miles a week I put on traveling all over the city. It's a great way to get to know the city. Bike lanes are wonderful. Had a quick question as far as safety is concerned. Over the past several weeks, I've been caught in the bike lane with cars coming the other way. Is there something that is going to be put in place that will not allow cars to enter the bike lane, such as a metal post coming up at the end of each block?
You know, there's been some cones that have been put out. They unfortunately disappear. We're not exactly sure who's taking them. If you're taking them, please give them back to us. We miss them.
I think you need something more permanent, probably.
Yeah, we've been talking about that. I mean, the issue is you want to have access for cars that need to get down there. Any sort of emergency vehicles, you don't want to prohibit them from getting in the lane if they need to be there. But it's something that we're certainly looking at and trying to think through from a design perspective how to best accommodate that. But it's going to be also enforcement. You know, once people start seeing that folks are getting tickets for that, they're going to stop doing it. The police have kind of had this, we're going to tell folks not to do this. And most people kind of find themselves surprised. Oh, I'm in the bike lane. It's not intentional. But it's something that we got to work through, I think. There's still some areas where we do see that happen. So you're right.
Good point, Joe. Thanks for bringing that up. And let's go to Paul in Edgewood. Paul, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. I would suggest we not think of it as us versus them, but, you know, most drivers could be cyclists. For example, some days I drive to work. Other days, when the weather's nice, when I feel like it, I bike to work. So, you know, it's not really us versus them. It's us. And, you know, we should all just enjoy what we have and make it safe. I'd like to see more trails built. I think we should not be just thinking of 2% or 3%, but down the road, I would hope that we could get, you know, 5% or 10% of travel being done by bicycle. I think that's feasible looking at the future.
Well, I think that you are, I'm sure, not alone, Paul, when you say that you both bike and drive a car. But there are a lot of people who drive cars that may ride a bike recreationally on a trail but wouldn't be interested in doing that on a city street. And I think a lot of it has to do with concerns about safety, which you've expressed. And Gani, I think you can probably speak to this. Are we at a point where it really is as safe as we would like it to be for bikers, for people on bicycles trying to get around on city streets in rush hour traffic? Because when I observe some of the behavior of the cyclists, it looks as though some people are not doing things that are especially safe, and also motorists aren't necessarily looking out for them either.
I think that as an organization and as a cyclist, right? So Bike Pittsburgh as an organization is always advocating for more safety features and more road design that really considers cyclists and takes cyclists into consideration. So as you were just saying, there are lots of people who feel comfortable on our trails, on our great, phenomenal trail system. Protected bikeways are a way of bringing that trail experience to city streets, right? So you know that you have a protected space that you're supposed to be, right? You know where you're going to be, you know where the cars are going to be. And that's one of the reasons why protected bike lanes are a really big part of and the first step. These lanes are the first step to us building an interconnected network across the city that is actually safe for people to travel, whether you're 8 years old or you're 80 years old. Mm-hmm. So that's really where we're moving towards.
Right. But the problem is, I think, for a lot of people, is the reality of the now. And I can tell you, as someone who I did grow up here, but I was living in the Midwest before moving back. And the roads and the streets are wider. And I was taking a deep breath as I traversed some of the city streets. And with the narrowness, cars are coming at you, and it looks like there's not going to be enough room for them to pass you, let alone when there are bikes there. It just seems as though there isn't a whole lot of room right now. So are we getting ahead of ourselves in terms of encouraging people to bike when the infrastructure isn't completely there for them to do so safely? Jeremy, I see you nodding your head.
I don't think we are at all.
No.
I think that it's one of those things, the 1% that we had up until this latest survey, they were fearless. I think you could look at most of them as saying, you know, they're out there on their own. And you know, if we want to see that number grow, I think it's fantastic that we're at 2% now. But if we want to see that 5-7% number, we have to start providing some infrastructure so that I am not, you know, a fearless bike rider. But now that the bike lanes come into downtown, I'm like, oh, I'm going to a meeting across town. Let's jump on the bike. Mm-hmm. We have a couple in our office, and let's take the bike lane. So I think, you know, we're building towards that. But to your point of safety, it's, you know, once you have opportunities for bike riders to get on those safer streets that accommodate them, you'll get them off of maybe the more narrow streets where it doesn't make sense for them to be.
I think it's also about, you know, everyone being mindful of how they're sharing the road. We need and how and the speed you're traveling and otherwise. I think that cyclists and drivers are sharing the roads relatively well, but better infrastructure will make that better.
Are you worried about the culture kind of coming together? It seems as though some cyclists don't observe the same traffic rules that a motorist has to. You can't run a red light at an intersection, but a lot of times you'll see a cyclist do that. When you see that, or when you hear about somebody doing that, what is your response as a fellow cyclist?
It's really important. It's incredibly important that all road users follow the rules of the road. That is really integral to having safe streets in Pittsburgh. And in response to that, and because we're always concerned about that, Bike Pittsburgh has created a commuter 101 guide. You can find that on our website at bikepgh.org/101. And that is a comic book style guide so that people can really, regardless of your reading level, you can really get a look at how to follow the rules of the roads and how to ride in specific situations that are a little bit more specific to Pittsburgh. So it talks about crossing bridges. It talks about crossing train tracks. So it goes over all of the basics of how to ride safely in Pittsburgh. And in addition to this this print guide that we have, we also have started a cycling education program called City Cycling this year. It's been phenomenal. We've taken this program into neighborhoods across Pittsburgh. We've been in Lawrenceville. We've been in Southside, in Homewood, and in East Liberty, giving these on-the-bike courses for that are 3 hours that teach people how to ride in traffic and how to signal and all of the basics of the rules of the road.
And we'll put a link to that on our website at WESA.FM. Want to work in some more callers? We have Margo in Highland Park. Margo, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Great. Yeah, hi. This is a great topic today. We're lifelong cyclists and drivers. My husband, just so you guys know, it is the older population. I'm 50 and my husband's 47. We commute everywhere by bike.
Well, that's just so old.
I know. Well, the way you guys are talking, it does sound old. But
not
yeah,
really,
thinking,
Margo.
You know, as far as the education part goes, I think something that's missing, you know, you see those signs on the road that say, you know, share the road, and there's a picture of the cyclist. And you know, I know that we all get really angry when we see cyclists who are making it hard on all of us because, yeah, they're blowing through stop signs, they're blowing through red lights. They're, you know, doing two or three abreast on a road so a car can't get by. There's a lot of bad behavior by cyclists. And so maybe educating more the driver about, yeah, you know, you have rights too. This is also your road. But remember that you're in the bullet that can kill the cyclist. The cyclist isn't necessarily going to kill you in your car. There's just a lot of back and forth that I don't see happening between the two communities that might be more helpful.
That's a great point, Margo, is that we all have to learn how to share the road. And, yeah, sometimes is it incumbent on the bicycle rider to realize that I'm not going to, you know, some of these people can really move on their bikes, but they may not be able to pedal faster than a car to get to a point where that car can pass them safely if they want to?
So Pennsylvania's safe passing law dictates that a motorist passing a bicycle has to give them 4 feet, but it also states that, you know, you can – that same motorist, if you're in a car, you can cross the double yellow line when it's safe to do so to pass that cyclist, right? So you can – so if you're on a two-lane road and one direction, you can cross over the line and then pass that cyclist. And that's the way that it should be done.
Let's go to Kim in Lawrenceville. Kim, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hi, Kim. Are you there?
I am here.
Okay.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Oh, great. I was just listening to the last letter because last speaker, so the delay.
Right. You need to turn your radio down.
I'll cross that issue too. Because I'm an avid cyclist and I'm older. I've been cycling since the 80s, and I cycled to work downtown from Shadyside.
It's awesome.
And it would take me approximately 20 minutes down Fifth Avenue. I mean, you have to know how to ride and whatnot, but no big deal. And I think it's fantastic what's happening with bicycles because they really are good for the environment. I also have a car, and you get stuck in traffic. Ridiculous. It's like something out of science fiction for hours sitting in a car, one person to a car, the waste of time, life. But, I was bicycling in the 80s from Shadyside down to downtown for work.
So you were one of the early, so how has it changed, Kim, from those days to now?
Well, oddly enough, I remember riding my little bicycle through East Liberty, and having somebody scream at me that I was rich from a car because I was on a bicycle and I was practically penniless. I think the attitudes are changing, but also for a while I worked at CMU and I knew some people that worked there. I worked a job where I didn't need to dress really well, but they did. And they'd always say, oh, you know, you can't, you know, ride the bike, you get sweaty and professor type people. And within the few months that I knew them, they were riding their bikes.
Yeah, so probably about half the faculty at CMU, I'm going to guess, is using bikes. So,
yeah.
Kim, that's great. That's a great piece of history there. Thank you for sharing that. We have a tweet from Stephanie who says, as a bike commuter, yes, cycling is safe. You must be an aware and consistent cyclist. It's a great way to navigate the city. Jeremy, what have you heard from businesses downtown? What has been their reaction to the new bike lanes?
I think there was the growing pains when the track first hit. You know, there were some concerns about how is it going to affect the alleyway? How's traffic going to be impacted? But all in all, we've not heard really any complaints. And in fact, when you talk to folks now, Penn Avenue's really changed. It's a much slower street. It's much safer. That's a really busy corridor for us from a pedestrian perspective. And so, you know, the ability to go out and enjoy your dinner on the street was already there. You had a ton of people walking on the sidewalks, and now you have that kind of extra barrier between you and the lane of traffic. It's just, I think, from a pedestrian perspective, it's a much better experience.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Edith in Highland Park, who's bringing up a great point. Edith, welcome to the show.
Traffic laws were designed for cars, and so like...
Hang on a second. Hold on. This does not sound like Edith. Who am I talking to?
Well, this is Paul.
Oh, hi, Paul. Is this Paul? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Southside Slopes.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So am I online? Am I on the air right now? Or do I have a question?
You are on the air.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
go
sorry.
Ahead and frame your
Anyhow,
comment
to the notion of that. You know, bicycles should basically focus on never impinging on somebody's legal right of way. First of all, so when people, the traffic laws were designed for. For cars mostly. That's everything's been designed for cars. So there's a lot of situations where it's really dangerous for a bicycle. So I'd like to see if they could comment about some of that, and also the notion of like the Idaho stop.
The Idaho stop. What does that mean?
Well, it's that a stop sign in Idaho is actually a yield sign for bicycles because they weren't really designed for. None of this was really designed for bicycles, so it's really dangerous for a bicyclist. So responsible bicyclists should never take somebody's legal right away. You should always. That rule of the road.
Well, okay. Well, interesting points, Paul. What about what Paul is saying? And he is not the only one who has expressed concerns that by making things easier for bikers, the city has made driving, parking, other things tougher for people who drive. What is your sense of that, Jeremy? And then I'll get to you, Ganny, about what the responsibility of the bicyclist should be. But what would you say?
Well, I think. We had zero infrastructure in downtown really for bikes. And so I don't think we're building for bikes. We're just we're accommodating a way of commuting that didn't exist in the past. I think, people had to change the way that they use the streets. They're, making a right now instead of making a left. And that's a little different. But folks accommodate. I think you can still get access to everything that you need to. The businesses are still able to get the services that they need. And it's a consequence that we as an organization and our stakeholders that we represent said, let's give this a shot. Let's give it a try. And it seems to be working.
So, Ganny, then what about what Paul, the caller, brought up about that the bicyclists must make sure that the motorists, that if they have the right of way, that they are not in the driver of the car's way?
Yeah, I think that's common sense. And I think, like I said, it's really important that bicyclists are following the rules of the road. Those rules essentially state that cyclists have the same responsibilities. People on bikes have the same responsibilities as people in cars.
Edith in Highland Park, let's get to your comment. Go ahead.
Okay. I grew up in the Netherlands, and I have great respect for bicyclists.
Oh, big bike culture there.
Yeah. And my kids who are in their 50s are bicyclists. So I respect and stay away from, give them their due respect. But when I drive, especially at night, and somebody, all of a sudden, there is some movement there, somebody in dark clothes, without lights, without reflectors, and very often without a helmet, that really scares me to death.
Edith, that's a great point. I've seen this as well. Ganny, what do you say to the cyclists who are not making themselves as visible as possible, especially at night?
It's incredibly dangerous. That's what I say. So Bike Pittsburgh, as an organization, we're concerned about safety. Safety is one of our – we are concerned about educating people about safety. So we have a bike light giveaway that we do periodically throughout the year, where we stop otherwise invisible cyclists. We flag them down and we give them a light set, and we tell them about the importance of having bike lights. So that's one of the ways we do it. But every publication that we put out, and regularly we remind Pittsburgh cycling community that one of the most important things that you can do is have a set of bike lights with you, regardless of whether you think you might be caught at night or not. Just bring them with you. Make sure that you have them so that you can be visible while riding at night. It's definitely a big issue.
Let's go to Jim in Wilkinsburg. Jim, you're on Essential Pittsburgh. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. I wanted to bring up the issue of bicyclists versus pedestrians. I mean, I work in Oakland, and I've seen an increase in bicycling, but I see it on the sidewalks. And Oakland is not an area where the sidewalks are barren. There's a lot of people on the sidewalks. And I've almost been hit a few times, and I've known people that have been hit. And I'm wondering if there's any possibility that people that give out the parking tickets could consider warning bicyclists and start giving out tickets to the bicyclists that are on the sidewalks.
I think we've all been there, Jim, where we're walking along. It may be on the bike paths or the river walks. It may be on a sidewalk somewhere, and a bike comes whizzing by you, and you know it takes your breath away. Ganny, what about Jim's concerns?
So, Bike Pittsburgh is an organization that's dedicated to making Pittsburgh's streets safer for people to bike and walk. So we know that bicyclists on the sidewalk definitely is a problem for pedestrians.
What do you tell somebody when they're riding on the sidewalk? Should they be on the sidewalk? If they're now able to ride on the streets, why be on the sidewalk?
So the law states that you can ride on the sidewalk if it's not in a business district. But the key thing, but as an organization, we think, you know, the safest place for riders is actually in the street and not on the sidewalk. It also allows for pedestrians to have the space that they need to be able to travel. So for cyclists riding on the sidewalk in places like Oakland, one of the things that we know is that those cyclists are probably pretty afraid or frustrated about the situation on the streets. And that's really a red flag that tells us we need better bike infrastructure in those areas. And that's one of the things that we know about bike lanes, and especially protected bike lanes, is that they reduce sidewalk riding by huge margins. So one of the best ways of getting the cyclists off the sidewalks in Oakland will be by putting in really good and dedicated bike infrastructure.
And let's take a call from Marilyn in Wilkinsburg. This will be our last one. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Hello?
Yes, Marilyn, you're on the air.
Okay. I had sort of an encounter of a close kind that made me think of something. And my encounter was, I was in Squirrel Hill, stopped at a stoplight, and a bicyclist came up on my right side, on the passenger side, and hit my mirror, not hard, but, and I thought, you know, there's supposed to be space between us, but sometimes it's the bicyclists that don't allow for that space. And what made me think about was, you know, if you drive a car or a motorcycle, you have to have some kind of license, you have to be trained, and you have to have a license plate on your vehicle. And bicyclists don't do that. And sometimes they can hit you, and then they ride away, and there you are.
Should bikes be licensed the same as cars? We had a Twitter question that echoed that.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Well, no, that's okay. I just saw it, so I'm bringing it up that you're not the only one that has that concern or that idea, Marilyn. So, Jeremy, what about the idea of should cyclists be licensed? Should their bikes be licensed, or should they be required to carry a license the same as a driver of an automobile is when they have their bikes on the street?
No expert in this here, but I think just as a person, no. I don't think that you can do that. I think that this is an opportunity. It's all about education. It's about informing folks of how to be safe, both the drivers and the people. I don't think that requiring registration is going to really do much to assist in that. I mean, the plate would be small. I don't know. You know, you're really not going to help the officer obtain additional information. I don't think you're going to get your cell phone out and snap a picture.
Do you feel like people like Ganny are doing enough?
I I think there's always more to be done. I think they're doing a great job. But I think it's also – it's still new for Pittsburgh. We're still getting – you know, we're still getting used to this whole concept. And hopefully it will be something that we see more of and that we get more accustomed to.
Okay. I lied. Joe in Oakland's been waiting an awfully long time to get on. Joe, go ahead. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Go ahead with your quick question here. Hi, Joe. Joe, are you there? Nope, Joe's off. I'm sorry. Joe wanted to ask. Joe says that he is blind and said that a lot of times the cyclists are not looking out for pedestrians. So, Gani, I think you've addressed that, but you never can be too safe.
Yeah, I would say definitely we encourage cyclists to never be on the sidewalks, but if they are, then you should be signaling, you should be letting pedestrians know by ringing a bell or using your voice. But again, the safest place for a rider is to be on the street, and I think that the better infrastructure in Oakland is going to take us really far.
Very good. Well, it's a discussion that will be ongoing, but bikes becoming more and more a part of the scene in Pittsburgh, and I want to thank both of you for coming in to talk about it. Jeremy Waltrip, President and CEO of the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership, and Gani Ndimbie, who is with Bike Pittsburgh. She is Communication Manager of Bike Pittsburgh. Thank you both for being here.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Coming up, Bob Studebaker previews the Alto Madness concert at the Kelly Strayhorn and a conversation with artist Peter Max. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.